This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Look at this evening, folks. And on this evening show, we are talking about...
the lesbian breakup.
So last week, we talked about lesbian relationships and different kinds of lesbian relationships. And this week, we are moving right along to the lesbian breakup. So if you want to get in touch with us, talk about your breakup stories, the good, the bad, the things that broke your heart, the things that helped you get over it.
Then as if there's such a thing.
There are. I've got stories.
Lesbians don't get over it.
Then you can talk to us. You can text us at 0427-JOY-949, Facebook us at Dystopical, that's DYSTOPICAL, or email us at dear.dystopical@gmail.com.
Or dystopical@joy.org.au. And I think before we move to a track, I would like to talk about...
Can I be introduced?
Oh. Yeah, I suppose. Okay, Katie East here again. Anyway, so moving right along. We're going to talk about the three stages of lesbian breakups.
Three?
Three.
Only three?
There are only three. Well, if you don't count getting back together 15 times.
The lucky of us have more than three.
Okay, let's talk about the main three. Okay, the first. Anyone?
You tell us.
You haven't actually broken up yet.
No, guys, come on. Thinking you should know this. You've both been out longer than me. The first is when you're actually having the breakup talk. One of the breakup talks.
So you're actually still together?
No, you're having the talk about how you want to break up. It's usually followed by a decision, whether it's a mutual decision or a one-sided decision. And, you know, this is it. And that's after you've spent at least 3 months in the lesbian, you know, breakup limbo.
Limbo.
The lesbian breakup dance. All right.
I like that.
Moving on to second stage. The second stage is when you have realized that she has moved on and she no longer has those feelings for you.
That's when she's walking down the street with some other thing on her arm.
No, it's not necessarily that stage yet.
We're not quite yet.
We're not at that stage.
That's
Katie.
A pointing going on
this
in
is,
the studio.
This is the stage where she relates to you like you're her buddy. We're just mates and, you know, we're just hanging out.
Cobber.
This is the friend stage?
It's the getting to be friends stage. We're friends.
Is this a friends with benefits stage? Because it always comes.
Okay, look, this doesn't technically exist in this stage, but yes, in reality, yes, you're probably still having sex from time to time.
We're not together, but we're still having sex, and then we talk about our emotions after it.
It's still a painful stage, even if you were the one that initiated the breakup, I might add. Then there is stage three. The stage that is the third stage and the final stage.
I love how it's got gut-wrenching written.
It is gut-wrenching. It's gut-wrenching. We make notes, folks. This is when you run into your ex.
So this is when reality kicks in.
Yeah, this is when you run into her with the new one.
And you're still sleeping with her, so you go and get an STI check.
Yeah, you run into her at the gay bar, which is probably the only gay bar, let's face it. Multiply this torment by 10 if you happen to be single at the time, or if you happen to live in a country that allows same-sex marriage, unlike our own, you may one day find yourself confronted with the fact that your ex-girlfriend is now another woman's wife.
Or you've sympathy eaten and you've put on 25 kilos since you last saw her, and now she's with some hot little thin thing.
That would never happen to me. And I think at this point we should maybe go to a song.
We're going
to
go to Sam Brown. Stop.
Oh.
All right, so you want to tell us what we were listening to there?
We were listening to...
I know.
It's okay, go.
The last one was Baby Animals, yeah?
And what was it called?
Thingy.
And this is why I do the music. That was Rush You by the Baby Animals.
Thank you.
That's my pleasure. Kat was singing along.
And before that?
We had Sam Brown, Stop.
Nice.
And I'm going to promise to stop talking when the mics go on and the music's still on from now on.
You will get the hang of this at some point.
I'm new.
All right. So, we were talking about lesbian breakups before the break, and we're coming right back to it. Why are lesbian breakups so hard?
Because there's women involved.
Yes. Well, Farina, I'm glad that you asked. I have to agree with Katie for once in my life. I think that it is actually because there are two women involved. And I also think there's lots of kind of, you know, feminine and feminist issues that come to play in female... female relationships.
So the feminist issues, with accent, please.
Feminist issues. Well, okay, the first thing I'd like to talk about, and I actually think this deserves a show of its own, but let's just talk about it, you know, in brief here, is lesbian ethics. No one else is saying anything, so I'll just keep going. Okay, so you would think...
Well, this is something I'm not familiar with, lesbian ethics. Obviously, I'm not very good at it.
There's a reason.
Are you not an ethical lesbian?
No, there's a reason why you're not familiar with it as a concept, and that's because it doesn't really exist out there. Okay. I mean, it does. It does, like, you know, a la Sheila Jeffries, etc. But I mean in an everyday sense. You would think that, you know, considering that we're all victims of homophobia, that it would be reasonable that lesbians would resist this kind of homophobia by rallying around to support each other's relationships. However... But this is not actually the case. You know, like, it's a small scene and we all know each other, and despite years of...
We've all slept with each other, which doesn't help. Well, not us in the radio station.
Actually, no. But
I mean, it's pristine in here, this environment.
It is. It's clear. Clean. Sterile.
Anyway, moving right along. Despite years of collective heartache... academically speaking, and also, you know, in general society, there is no strongly felt or clearly articulated norm or ethic amongst lesbians regarding ongoing intimate relationships and how we ought to behave towards them.
I would think that they would just follow the same norms as heterosexual relationships.
But they don't.
Because how many people have you met that you've met and they've slept with someone that you know and you've slept with someone that they know, and then the whole intertwined... sort of, oh my God, everyone slept with everybody in my friendship circle group.
And
what does that have to do with lesbian ethics?
It's
ethical to sleep with all of your friends.
If you two would stop speaking, I could say something intelligent about this, but you know, I don't have to.
No, please.
Just keep going.
No, go for it.
Okay, great. All right. So we don't actually have consistent role models. Yeah, we've got some celebrity role models about lesbian relationships, but there are a few of them. But we don't have, like, everyday role models. And so, therefore, there's nothing to really follow. And you have to remember that, politically speaking, often lesbians are reacting against you know, norms. So reacting against monogamy or reacting against anything that could be seen as the equivalent of a heterosexual relationship.
Oh, yes. Okay, so when you're going along with lesbian ethics, okay, so you get to the point, you've been dating for a while, and you get to that point where a normal heterosexual couple would look at getting engaged or moving in together, whereas lesbians usually move in on the second date. And then once you get past the engaged bit with a heterosexual relationship, where do we go from here? Okay, we get married, and then we have a child, and then we buy a white picket fence house.
Except we can't get married.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, that ethical standard that heterosexuality has doesn't actually stand for...
Well, I don't think that's actually an ethical standard. I think that's just actually...
A
like
standard...
Yeah, it's a standard.
A norm.
But in terms of, yeah, a norm. But in terms of an ethical norm, I don't think we've got a lot to go on. And so lesbians frequently don't respect and support other lesbians' relationships with their lovers. There's no particular agreement amongst us that it's unethical or wrong or destructive to go after someone who's already committed to another woman. In fact,
that's just normal human decency.
Well, you would think so, but... I don't know about your experiences, but mine have certainly been that in order, you know, to get involved with someone who's in a prior relationship is actually generally accepted and really questioned by other lesbians.
I would find that in my personal experience, if someone has a girlfriend, then that person is off limits.
Can I butt in here with a little bit of a thing? So I am dating a wonderful woman at the moment who happens to be a lot younger than I am. Mm. And she went to a party the other night. And had a girl crack onto her, And the girl, she turned around to her and said, look, I'm in a relationship and I'm really happy and thanks, but no thanks. And the girl proceeded to then say, well, that's okay. How old is she? And she told her my age. And she goes, well, that's okay. Like, she's heaps older than you and I'm younger than you, so I could be your toy boy and we could, you know, muck around on the side and you could have your serious relationship. Like, the biggest thing that I have, and I stress this to my girlfriend all the time, I have no issue. We have an interstate relationship. No issue with her going out doing anything. It's not her that I don't trust. It's other lesbians out there that I do not trust.
I think it actually depends on your politics. And I have to say, like, as someone that works at a university, I feel like that feminism is a pretty confused issue these days.
Always has
People
been.
Are all over the place about where they stand and which wave of feminism they're in.
Or even if they identify as feminist, it's more...
I feel like young kids today don't, partly because I think they don't understand what it means.
And also because there's a lot of stigma around being a feminist and, you know, it has certain connotations, rightly or wrongly.
Absolutely. And I sometimes think that, like, you know, hitting on someone else's girlfriend is actually sometimes condoned as a very moral thing to do. Like, you know, it's a blow against monogamy. It's a blow against possession and it's a blow against ownership when, you know, everything should all be fair in love and a set.
It'll be a blow against her if she does it to my girlfriend again.
Not condoning violence.
No. I meant that in a non-violent way. But then in saying that, she texted her while we were in bed the other night, just sitting there watching a movie going, I miss you. And I said,
so your girlfriend texted this girl or the
other
girl?
No, the other girl texted my girlfriend. And I said to her, I don't think that that's appropriate behaviour.
I cannot tell you how many times I have been lying in bed with my partner when some other woman has texted them saying, I really want to have sex with you.
Yeah.
After, you know, maybe perhaps meeting us both out that night.
Yeah.
There actually does not seem to be some ethical norm that says it's not cool to hit on someone's girlfriend.
There is no ethical norm. A perfect example is that. Yeah, no, it's true. There is.
It's actually happened a million times and both ways around, you know. I don't think that we have the same respect for relationships.
No. And I'm just going to reiterate that it's not the person that I'm with that I don't trust, because I would never be with somebody that I don't trust. Well, from now, I would never be with somebody that I don't trust.
Sorry, what?
From now, past relationships.
So we've covered lesbian ethics a little bit. Now, there's some other stuff that you wanted to talk about.
I want to talk about self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, tell us more about
that. Okay. This is a concept I came across in high school and explained a lot of things to me. And this is to do with, and I'm sure you all know this out there, but that when you believe something strongly enough, it's what you make happen. And there is widespread cynicism amongst lesbians about long-term relationships. Like, a lot of people have really deeply resigned themselves to serial pairings as, like, just a fact of lesbian life, because we don't know a lot of people that have enduring partnerships, and so we believe that they don't exist. And so after each breakup, whether it's our breakup, whether it's the horrible breakup of a friend, we just become, like, you know, a little bit more
jaded
and cynical. And so we think that relationships can't last.
Yet I feel like as women, we probably have this maybe we wouldn't admit it, but we probably won't have this thing inside us that is sort of a homing instinct, you know, someone that wants to be
nesting
in a long...
Fareen.
A nesting thing. A
Fareen's nesting at the moment.
Yes, I am. So speaking as a current nester, I feel like we all have this thing where we try really hard, and that's where the serial monogamy thing probably comes in, that we try really hard with each individual person that we're in a relationship with. Even if there might not be the right person for us, we try very hard to make things work because we have the sense of wanting a stable relationship.
Absolutely. And that brings me to my next irate comment,
please,
which is about female conditioning.
Segue.
Yeah. Lesbians are women. I don't know if anyone knew that, but lesbians are women.
Stop press. Yes.
And we're brought up, we're socialized, we're programmed, we're conditioned as women. So, you know, in intimate relationships, there's a lot of behaviors and attitudes which are a consequence of, I think, of our social conditioning. And some of them can contribute to problems in our relationships.
True.
For example. So if we're talking about two people that have low self-esteem, two people who try to please each other and try to depend on external validation in order to feel worthwhile, two people who feel relatively powerless and try to avoid conflict, like, what do you think is going to happen to, like, intimacy and, you know, a relationship between two people who are both indirect, unassertive, and suppress or lie about their feelings.
Now, we've talked on previous shows, and I really want to talk again about this whole, like, lesbian merging thing. And do you think that's
the
one
urge
of the reasons,
to merge. The urge to merge.
Do you think that's one of the reasons why breaking up can be so hard for lesbians?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yes.
Because
yes.
you merge so quickly. Like, a lot of people, I may possibly at one stage move back to Melbourne, having a long-distance relationship. My girlfriend lives down here. I live in Cairns. I may possibly move back to Melbourne one day. The first thing that gets raised as soon as I say that to somebody is, oh, so you two are going to move in together. Mm. And, like, the look on my face is just no, we're not, because I don't want that urge to merge to ruin anything.
But it's not even just a merging of homes. It's a merging of friends. It's a merging of assets.
The friends and the ethics in a breakup are huge.
I want to go back to the female conditioning.
Go on.
Like, we are actually conditioned to place relationships at the center of our lives. Like, they're the most important thing ever, and we're supposed to maintain them and keep them going.
We need that in order to feel fulfilled.
Well, yeah, we need that in order to feel like we're being women in the proper sense of, you know, what that word means. And so I feel like women, like we just tend to merge and give up ourselves to a lover. And
lose yourself in the relationship.
Yeah, we lose our identities and our personal boundaries. And
lost myself in a relationship.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
And you do it over and over again, and you swear that you won't do it in the next one, and that you won't do it in the next one.
Look, I never did it with men, but I think with women, because you're both doing it, it's just really easy to do. Like, you tend to kind of mirror each other. And we've all joked about this, you know, about those lesbian partnerships where they do everything together, they have the same habits, they look the same,
they
take on the same project, they say "we" really fast. And women tend to see this as a sign of closeness and, like, and
but their
love.
Friends on the outside don't say it. Perfect example, Kat and I had a chat about this the other week, is that I got into a relationship and I am not in contact with you guys as much as I normally would be.
We had a fight about this.
We did have a fight, but we're really bad fighters.
Well, this is actually, I think, a constant source of conflict between, you know, people that get into relationships and then all the friends get left on the wayside. And
that's
the
right.
Do feel really, really.
It's so
hurt.
True. And then, like, I've got a perfect example is my last breakup was horrendous. Mm. And the first thing I did was come to you guys. Like, these are my buddies, my girls. Came to your house and cried my absolute eyes out. And I may have been, you know, for the months before that, telling you about what was wrong, but sometimes you don't know how serious things are. And then as soon as you break up with
you're trying really hard
that's
in a
it.
Relationship.
But then as soon as you break up, like, you know a true friend, because no matter what happens, they're going to be there. I'm nearly going to cry. They're going to be there for you when things go wrong.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But Katie Lauren East. We do have to have that conversation about, which we've already had, guys, by the way.
All right, so we're going to play a couple of tracks, and when we come back...
I've got so much more to say.
But when we come back, I want us to talk about surviving breakups. And
I've got a list.
I know you've got a list, and I've got some personal stories.
I want to talk about negative things. I want to talk about sexual scars and romantic addiction.
All right. We'll talk about all of it.
But you guys can go first.
Back.
We're going to go into a commercial track, Bruno Mars, Grenade.
Here we go.
Brian turned the mics on early, so we had to stop singing.
That's right. That was, you know, you guys weren't around, but it was torture.
We were belting
we
that song out.
Such a good time.
Sorry, but Missy Higgins, Where I Stood, like, it's the ultimate breakup song. Like,
it's a pretty good breakup song.
It is a pretty good breakup song. That's why I threw it in there. It's actually a pretty good breakup album, all of her stuff. If you ever want to feel depressed and sit at home. Look, you know, the press release is not out on it. Although I do know a friend that was at an awards show and she did Pash a Chick at the after party.
That surely counts.
Well, who hasn't passed a chick sometimes?
Well, no
when
one
you're
on
drunk.
The lesbian show tonight, Katie.
Never.
Yeah.
Virginal
no,
lips.
That would be wrong.
All right, what are we talking about now, Kat?
Pathological communication problems.
Okay.
I mean, I hate to be negative, but you know.
Wait. I thought you were going to talk about sexual scars. Please tell us something about that, too.
Okay. I'll just be doubly negative. Sexual scars.
Just
and then
change.
We'll talk about surviving.
Okay, all right. I'm negative person tonight. I'm going to talk about how in women, as women who live in a heteropatriarchy, we are sexually abused and exploited from birth to death by religion, custom law, rape, unwanted male attention. Actually, a lot of women just never achieve a comfortable or joyful sexuality.
Do you really believe this? Because
yes, I actually
found
do.
You found this this great article, but I don't know if I'd necessarily believe that we are scarred
I'm not,
sexually.
Okay, well, we can, you know, dispute the heading if you like, but I do actually think that women don't necessarily... Well, okay, hang on. Let me try and be exact. I think that women find it a lot more difficult to achieve, like, some kind of, like, joyful and free sexuality compared to men.
You think we've got hang-ups?
Generally speaking, I don't think that I have a lot of sexual hang-ups, but I also think that I worked really hard to get rid of them.
Okay.
So first of all, you have to be aware of the fact that you have them.
Yes.
And then you have to do something about it. And I think that a lot of women shut down. And some women do the opposite, like they have like compulsive sexuality, like they, I can't say that word before 9 o'clock.
Puck.
They have a lot of sex for validation, almost compulsively. But that's also kind of numbing. Like I think women find it very hard to be enthusiastic and joyful and accepting about their sexuality.
And is that because?
Oh, we're not taught that.
As much as men to celebrate being sexual, I guess.
That's right. Like, we're taught to feel guilty about it. And I think that, like, in lesbian couples, it just makes perfect numerical sense that we've got two people. doing the same thing. So we've got two women who are, you know, sexually, what's the word, tender, trying to work out a satisfying sexual relationship. And so, you know, a lot of lesbian relationships are characterized by like having this amazingly intense sexual beginning and, oh my God, I love that bit.
But isn't that the same for all relationships?
Well, I mean, I've had two long-term heterosexual relationships and yes, in certain ways, but I personally found in heterosexual relationships, or at least, you know, what I can, I guess, call, like they were with men, so I guess it was heterosexual in that sense, that there was a lot more communication about it. Mm. Maybe because I felt a little bit more removed from it, but women, I think, tend to start off really strong and, like, wane fairly fast. And, you know, I don't agree with the term lesbian bed death, and we've actually done a show about this. But I do know that many relationships do end with, you know, not a lot of sex.
And we're women, just friends.
And, again, like, you know, like, something that we're socialized into is that that sex and love are very much a crossover. So I feel like if you start looking for sex elsewhere and you're having amazing sex with someone else, you kind of feel like that's where you should be. Like that's the person that you should be with. Like we associate.
But then that kind of wanes as well. And so.
And so then you
got end up this, in a cycle.
Yeah. This cycle of serial.
There's actually studies that have been done as well that sexuality can sometimes be mixed up with like a spiritual connection with somebody.
Yeah.
Like you have a very strong spiritual connection with somebody, but you actually mistake it for a sexual connection. And so you end up having sex and then realizing that really...
You should just be friends.
You should just be friends, yeah.
Mm.
All right, so...
can we go on to positive stuff now?
Yeah, okay.
I've got so much negative stuff to say.
I'm throwing Kat's thing away.
Okay, so that was dramatic.
Right. So let's go on to the positives of lesbian breakups.
Oh, my God, listen to the sound of her voice.
So you had a list.
I've got the list.
Now tell us about your list.
My list is I can't believe I'm going to say this. It's got 10 things on it. I don't like...
Last week it was only 9.
I don't like even numbers, but it's got 10 things on it.
We'll put one more at the end, I think.
Okay.
We'll make it 11.
All right, I'm going to rush through.
All right.
Okay, number one is to recognize what has happened.
What's your list about?
This is how to get over your lesbian breakup.
Okay.
Right, how to get through it. One is you need to recognize what has happened. It's okay to be in shock. To be upset. Yeah. Recognize why, you know, what's happened to make it go wrong. There's two people involved in it. You can't just blame it on one person.
Yeah.
Number two, you are allowed to feel angry towards your partner.
This is about ex-partner. Survival.
This is about survival, but, you know, it's like a grief process as well, and anger is the second stage.
What's the first stage? Denial?
Yes. So
she didn't really break up with me.
Yeah. We're still together.
How could she do that?
Anyway, so you're allowed to feel angry, but the best way to get over that kind of stuff is get away from your partner. Like, I'm a firm believer, and I know a lot of people out there aren't, but I'm a firm believer in a clear cut. If you break up with somebody, you can't talk to them. You can't see them. You can't be friends for a while. If that happens in the future, then that's fantastic.
I agree with that one.
But I am really, a clean cut kind of girl.
I think it's really easy to slide back into a relationship type behavior pattern just because you're so used to it.
Yeah, totally. I
think having that break, not talking, cuts that sort of rhythm that you're in.
Well, that's it.
You can
it.
Come back and find another dynamic at some point when you're totally
that's
over
that's fantastic.
It. Yeah,
agree. So also in that thing, feeling angry, you shouldn't drive by their house. This is off the internet. And it was actually on there, no drive-bys. And don't ask if she's sleeping with somebody else to your mutual friends and stuff like that.
Because you don't want to know.
That's it. You don't.
Also, it's not your business anymore.
That's right. You've broken up. Number three, get support. Mm-hmm. As I said, my girls were here for me when I had my horrible relationship breakup a while ago. And
yeah, even though you didn't call when you were together.
Anyway.
Wasn't allowed
on topic,
to.
Folks.
Anyway, so really wasn't allowed to. So get support, friends, whatever you need to do in order to get through that.
And they will be there.
They will.
Even though we talked about kind of losing your friends in the process of being
losing yourself.
Yeah, losing yourself and therefore losing your friends whilst getting into this relationship.
Yep.
I believe that you can always find those friends again. You can always build those
friends. If you suck up hard enough. I'm so negative.
Number four is mourn but do not wallow. I think this one's really important. Like, don't
mourn, but what's the difference?
Mourn but don't wallow. If you give me a chance, negative Nancy. Okay, don't allow it to turn you bitter. Like, that's a big one.
But I think that takes time as well.
Definitely. I'm not saying that this happens overnight. Scream, cry, feel crappy. It's okay. Am I allowed to say crap?
Yes, you're
allowed to say crap. So you're allowed to have that. They say it takes half the time. There's been a study on this. They say it takes half the time you were in a relationship to actually get over the relationship.
I thought that study was from Sex and the City, but I'm glad that
there actually was.
There's an actual study.
Yeah.
There actually is. Anyway.
I've been quoting Sex and the City this whole time when I,
Sex and the City.
Sex and the City.
Anyway, number five is closure. You need closure. You need to have closure, whether that's saying what you need to say to that person. My best advice here, and this is personal advice, is if you are going to use email or text, write it. And then put it away for 24 hours, come back to it, and then say, do I really want to send that? Or should I?
To do, but very, very good
advice.
It is very good advice.
I think I said this last week. I say this to my clients all the time. Like, write whatever you need to write and just send it to me instead of them. Or, print it out, burn it, do whatever you want to do. But the only thing you're not allowed to do is send it straight away.
Mm. All right. Number six, I do not agree with this one. I'll be upfront about it. No rebounds. You need time to heal. Mm. The best way to get over someone is to get under someone else, is as the saying goes. I think rebounds are healthy. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't think that they are.
I have to actually disagree on this because I think
finger waving going on.
I'm pointing. I think
rudeness aside, please.
No, I'm not trying to be rude. I just think that we have a tendency when you're attracted to someone to try and like read between the lines. So someone can say to you, "Oh, yeah, just broke up with someone and rebounding," but I don't think people necessarily take that in.
My idea of a rebound is to go out one night, get drunk, pick up, and I don't care if I know your name.
Yeah, but that doesn't make anyone feel any better. The rebounds that make people feel better is when someone's into you.
Temporary relief. Well, okay, it's an ego balance. That's actually it's an ego boost. It is.
That's not a rebound.
It's
a rebound. No, a rebound is something else altogether. Like rebound
is
not casual sex. We can all do.
I'm not talking about
casual
sex.
I can do that
sex.
Whether I'm.
I'm talking
upset
about a one
not.
Off, one night stand.
Okay.
Because that's not casual sex.
Back to my list.
Go out and have sex.
No, I think it's a really bad idea.
Okay, well, the list agrees with you, but I said at the start that I don't agree with this bit on the list.
I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I just think it's
stupid.
Thank
you. Okay. Number seven, let your feelings out. Have an outlet. Like, go to the gym.
Punching bags.
Oh, it goes into number eight. Yeah, have an outlet. Number seven, let your feelings out and have a look at yourself. That's seven and eight put together, so that kind of cuts it down to nine.
Thank you.
Avoid turning to drugs and alcohol. As an emergency nurse and a drug and alcohol nurse now, it is hard to do because you want to suppress that emotion. You'll find yourself smoking more. You'll find yourself drinking more, all that kind of stuff, eating more. Sometimes you don't eat at all. Go to the gym. Go for a run. Write, paint, do whatever it is that makes you happy.
Even though it's really, really hard to stop the wallowing, I think that's a good way to just sort of short-circuit it.
That's it.
For a little while.
Okay, number nine, or number eight, really. Let's go to number eight. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. You've got to look at it on the positive as an opportunity for personal growth. Mm-hmm. And the last one is let go. You can't control others' actions. You can only control your reaction.
Mm.
So that's my list for this week.
All right. And I think I've had a few things that have, you know, helped me over time as well.
Yeah.
One thing is, you know, you said earlier, do not turn to, you know, alcohol. And I think for me, having a glass of wine makes a big difference in my resolve. And learning to not have that glass of wine or, you know,
bottle
or whatever, glass or two, really, really, you know, changes the way that my resolve works. Yep. And I think that works for everything.
Yeah.
But especially with this, giving my phone away for a little while.
Yeah, that's
really helpful.
Yeah.
One thing I like about our friendship is that we have instigated that rule with the three of us in the past, is that the phone is to be turned off or it's to be given to a friend or something like that.
And I mean, I lose mine so regularly that
I think another thing that's been really important for me is to not idealize a relationship. So not to spend time thinking about all the great things that happen and all the things that I'm missing, but focus on a balance between, you know, these, that yes, there were acknowledging that there were good things that happened in that relationship, but also the reasons why you're breaking up and why you want to move
absolutely.
On.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think always the going back, you know how a lot of lesbians do the breakup and then they go back.
Mm.
They go back because they can only remember the good stuff. Your brain is only, you know, is able to remember the good stuff. Don't remember all the bad stuff. Don't remember the fights and, you know, those endless nights sleep.
Mm.
Absolutely. And I think at this point it's worth saying, you know, we've been talking about our own experiences here tonight, and obviously, you know, we're us, and so we can't represent the views of all gay women everywhere. So if you feel something different, it's not your experience, you feel, you know, that it doesn't actually include you, please feel free to write to us. Tell us what your experience is and your thoughts. In the meantime, Farin, I'm thinking we should maybe go to a song.
Absolutely.
Okay, guys and girls, that was a beautiful song, half a song, by Karim Bailey Ray, called Like a Star, which is one of a nice song.
And what were we listening to before that?
We were listening to Leah Van, which is Should You Stray. She's a beautiful Australian artist. Please look her up.
That was she was
really,
great.
Really beautiful. Now, sometimes we get positive comments, and sometimes we get negative comments, and sometimes we get neutral ones on the show. And I just wanted to read something out that a listener had written into us today, who says that they struggle with the show and they feel excluded by its content, and that also they felt like the research that we've done has the potential to cause harm and has a significant element of professional dangerousness. And I feel like we should put an apology out there to that particular listener who feels that way, but also just to say that we are not professionals in any way. We
I am a nurse and a counsellor and a drug and alcohol counsellor. Yeah, but apart from
I'm
that,
I'm an advocate and you're a researcher, but not in the context of, you know, this.
But we always try and talk from our personal points of view, and sometimes they can be, a little bit alienating, and they might not necessarily be your particular opinion, and we're always welcome that kind of feedback. So thank you for writing in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So just to wind up the show today, Kat, we have a Dear Dystopical question, as always.
Who came up with this one?
Me. And it was actually a question that I had a while ago and that I wanted someone to answer for me.
Okay.
And
can you say it in the voice that you said it at the time?
No, because they'll, you know, be sobbing and sniffling and stuff. But the question basically is, look, the lesbian scene is a small scene, and we just broke up. So what happens now?
Mm. That is actually a good question, because it's quite hard to get back on there on the scene when you know that the other person and their friends and other people that you know kind of know about what's happened with the relationship. It's quite hard to be public.
Yeah, it can be really humiliating depending on the circumstances, I think. So what do you do?
What's the advice?
Uh-huh.
My advice is move interstate.
Yeah, no, I think that works. I always think that works.
My advice is that the show will go on. It's never as bad as you think it is in your head. You will go there, but you also have friends and people that support you there, and it is your scene too.
It is.
As much as it's their scene, it's yours and it's your community. And people understand that relationships break up and people move on.
I think it comes back to the stage of you can't change other people's actions. You can only change your reaction.
Look, I think ideally you would want to take some time out. This can be really hard to do.
I don't think it's a good idea to jump back onto the scene. I think you need to have some time out.
And then obviously at some point, you have to come back. And, you know, I think there's a list of possible scenarios when you come back.
There is. Look, I haven't run into my ex, but I live interstate. But when I do, I'm scared. I'll be honest with you.
And
on the scene.
And that's a
natural state. Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Until it fades.
I'm thinking four scenarios.
Okay.
All right.
Quick. First,
scenario one. She's now taken. Okay.
Yep.
She's with someone else.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. You're still amazing. Nothing's going to change it. Her loss. You pretend you don't care less. Leave with dignity.
Dignity.
Okay. Number two. She could be single, but she's actually not interested in you. So, yes, your ego's a bit squished. Remind yourself that the future will be better. And, again, leave with dignity.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.